If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. We're looking at 1 John. It has 105 verses in it, and there are different threads. We looked at the 12 things John says we're supposed to know as a Christian. We've looked at the 5 things that we're supposed to do if we're born of God. And so I want to look at another one of those threads today in the book. This lady had a husband that was not a Christian, and she prayed for him and prayed for him, and the church prayed for him, and one day he got saved. He accepted Christ as his Savior. And someone asked her on the street one day, "Has your husband changed his religion?" And she said, "No, but his religion has changed him." And that's what it's supposed to do. I talked to the criminal justice professors at Polk State, and I talked to them about the classes they teach, and one of the sad truths of our prison system here in Florida is, well, first of all, if you get life in prison, you can be out in 14 years. Yeah. But another thing is, two-thirds of the people that come out of prison commit crimes and go back to prison. The recidivism rate is very high, and I really think that we need to pray more for the chaplains we have in our prisons, that more of these people can be reached for Jesus. But the focus is on Jesus. Now, when you read the Bible, when you read the New Testament, I had a friend that wanted to buy a Bible, so I took him to the Christian bookstore and I said, "Look, here's all these different Bibles. There's study Bibles, there's regular Bibles, there's new translations." He said, "Well, I want a red letter Bible." I said, "Do you know what that is?" And he said, "Well, that's where the words of Jesus are in red." I said, "Okay, well, here's a red letter Bible." So he opens it up to the Old Testament, and he's flipping through it, and he said, "Well, there isn't any red in this Bible." And I said, "Well, you know, Jesus didn't say anything in the Old Testament. He didn't come until the New Testament." "Oh, okay, all right." So anyway, yeah, the focus is on Jesus, and we have to ask ourselves, when you read about Jesus in the Gospels, when is he our example and when is he our teacher? Because there's some things he teaches that we're supposed to do, and there's some things he lived that we're supposed to pay attention to and do. So we have to ask ourselves the question in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when is Jesus our teacher and when is Jesus being our example? When is he our standard and when is he our substitute? Okay? Because he was our substitute on the cross. He bore our sins for us. And so I want to talk about being a Christian today because Jesus is our standard. And there are 6 times in 1 John where it says we should be as he is. The phrase "as he is" in the book of 1 John. You know, Christians were first called Christians at Antioch. Christianity was called the Way many times in the book of Acts. But at Antioch, they wanted to make fun of Christians. And so they said, and Christian means little Christ. And so what they did, it was a sneer term to make fun of believers. "Oh, you're a Christian. You're a little Christ." But yeah, we are. That's just the fact of it. Okay? And so let's look at Jesus as our standard. Okay, chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is," see that, "as he is? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." Jesus is our standard in relation to God. Jesus is our standard in our relationship to ourself, and Jesus is our standard in our relationship to others. That's the 3 points this morning. Now, 1 John 1, 7, Jesus is our standard in relation to God in our inward life. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Harry Ironside, the great pastor of Moody Church, said one time, "In the light, not according to the light, where we walk, not how we walk. We walk where? In the light." Christianity is built on a life we cannot live. Christianity is built on a death we cannot die. But that's not the end of the story. Let's add to that. Christianity is built on a life we cannot live, but Jesus can live it. And Christianity is built on a death we cannot die, but Jesus died. And that's the truth. Walk, to go about. If you look at 2 John, you know there's three Johns. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3 John, verse 4, again, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have forgiveness of sins. Now, sometimes you study stuff by looking at the opposite. Let's look at Judas. Judas was in the presence of the light because Jesus is the light, but Judas was not open to the light. The point here is we are in the presence of Jesus. We've accepted him as our personal Savior, and we walk and live in his presence. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. The first step is union. The second step is communion. The first step is union. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Second step is communion. We walk with him in the light. He is in us. His light is in us. His light is around us. His word enlightens us. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Jesus is the light. John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that comes after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We're supposed to wake up and walk in the light. Ephesians 5, 14, awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Revelation 22, verse 5, heaven doesn't need a light because why? Because Jesus is the light. Revelation 22, 5, there shall be no night, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Light does a couple of things. Light guides. I'm thinking about putting lights around our front door because our front door is dark. I think I'm going to get some of those solar lights or whatever, put them around the front door. Light guides. God wants to guide us. There was this farmer out in the field, and he looked up in the clouds, and he saw this cloud, and it looked like the letters G and P. This is an old illustration, guys, from East Tennessee. And he thought GP stood for go preach. And so he left everything and started preaching at a church, and he was terrible. You've heard some people like that. He didn't know a lot, and he wasn't very good at communicating it, and he preached for 2 or 3 hours. He just didn't know when to quit. Now, I had a friend that said, if they're spiritual, you'll sit there for 2 or 3 hours. Now, I do believe that the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure, okay? But finally, they said, look, you saw a GP in the sky. I don't think that meant go preach. I think that meant go plow. Go back. But God can guide us, okay? We just have to get the right signals. Light exposes things. J. Vernon McGee said he was in Tennessee squirrel hunting one time. He went to the University of South at Suwanee in Tennessee. He was squirrel hunting. It started raining, so he ran into this cave. And it was kind of cold and damp in the cave, so he took some twigs and leaves, and he started a fire. And when it lit up the cave, he saw bats and snakes and spiders, and he got out of that cave. Light exposes things so that you can see more clearly. And light purifies. A lot of times we shine ultraviolet light on things to kill it. So light does a lot of things. So Christ is our standard in our inward life. He's our standard in our outward relationship to God. J. Vernon McGee says, we cannot do nor be all that Lord Jesus Christ did or was. But if we set our hearts on doing our Father's will, which was the thing that the Lord Jesus put uppermost in his life, then we are walking in the same manner as he walked. you study the life of Jesus, Jesus walked in submission. Romans 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man could do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jack Taylor taught me a tremendous lesson one time from the Bible. He says, what was Jesus' secret? John 5:19, Jesus did what he saw, and John, there's another verse in chapter 8, in chapter 8, Jesus spoke what he heard. He said, what's the secret of living a great Christian life? Do what you see and say what you hear as God speaks to you. Jesus walked in submission. Jesus walked in obedience. John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. Jesus walked in humility. You know the old, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and I will give rest to your soul. He walked in love. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for a sweet-smelling sacrifice for us. Jesus walked in it. The inward life in relation to God, the outward life in relation to God, we should be as he is. Now, how do you know God? Well, in the Greek world, in Paul's time, you knew by intellectual reasoning, logic, thinking. You knew it by emotional experience. All the mystery religions that Christianity competed with had all these emotional experiences, and they spoke in tongues, and they took drugs, and they took psychedelic trips, and they had ecstatic states. They're an example of, they're not trying to know God, they're trying to feel God. And we have people today that want to be entertained and they want to feel God. They want to come to church to feel good. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes some of your experiences with God aren't going to make you feel good. They're going to make you feel bad. That's a part of getting messages from God. It's not by mind, it's not by emotion. The Bible says it's from God's revelation. God speaks to us. God reveals himself to us. Bertha Smith, famous Southern Baptist missionary to China. Now, she was in China at the same time as Dr. Bill Wallace. Miss Bertha, they called her Miss Bertha. She came home, she retired, and she would go around and speak in churches. And she never got married. And some people said, Miss Bertha, what about this thing about you've never been married, so you don't want men for pallbearers? She said, let me tell you something. She's a real straight-speaking lady. She said, I never had a man take me out when I was alive, so I'm not going to have six men take me out after I'm dead. Yeah. But you know what she said? She said, and I heard her say it one time, she said, don't make decisions, discern what God wants to do. Don't decide, discern. Because sometimes God's will doesn't make sense. And sometimes God's will isn't logical. And sometimes God's will is not the normal way. Don't decide, discern. Don't use reason, use revelation. Now, you're going to remember this, or you're going to remember, I never had a man take me out when I was alive, so I'm going to have six men take me out after I'm dead. Which one are you going to remember most? Okay, we're human. C.H. Dodd said one time, to know God is to experience his love in Christ and return that love in obedience to him. You know, the Bible says a lot about how we're to walk as Christians. The Bible says in Romans 6:4, we were buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. How do we walk? Romans 13, it talks about walking honestly with God. Romans 13, 12 and 13, rejoicing, Romans 13:12-13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself as a sweet-smelling savor for us. Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly. Now, we are security conscious. People are shooting up churches so much. And if you want to kill a bunch of people, you go where you think people are nice and won't shoot back. Or you go to schools where they're not allowed to have guns and can't shoot back. And we're not that nice around Inman Park. You know, if you come in here, somebody here is going to shoot you. Because we're going to protect our own. And it's called situational awareness. Being aware of your situation. Being aware of the good people and the dangerous people around you. But the Bible talks about spiritual situational awareness. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the day is evil. Walk circumspectly, spiritual situational awareness. Christ is our standard in relation to God, both inward and outward. Christ is our standard in relation to ourselves. What about our inward life? Jesus was pure. 1 Peter 2:2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in him. What did God say? Jesus got baptized. Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What did Pilate say after he put Jesus on trial? He said, I find no fault in him. What did the centurion say? Luke 23:47, when Jesus died, he said, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. What did the demons say when Jesus spoke to the demons and cast them out? Mark 1:24, what have we to do with thee, thou Holy One of Israel? Jesus was holy, Jesus was good, and he lives inside us. Our relationship to God, Jesus is our standard in relation to self, our purity. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, James 4:8 says. Our standard in relation to ourselves and our inward life, you know, there's looking for Jesus, and then there's living for Jesus till he comes back. I think more people are looking for Jesus than are waiting for Jesus to come back. I'll tell you, we need to think about that. The second coming, we're supposed to be pure in waiting for him. We're supposed to be patient in waiting for him. We're supposed to be sincere in waiting for him. And then the outward relationship with ourselves. Jesus is righteous, so we're supposed to be righteous. Hosea 10:12. Break up the fallow ground. Reign in righteousness, Hosea says. Matthew 5:20, and this is a tough one. Be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Well, how close do we get to perfect? Not close enough, because we all have faults, we all have failures, but we're to strive for it. You know, sometimes people aim at the sun and hit the moon. That's what we're supposed to do. I would tell you a joke, but Eileen's after me about telling jokes, so we'll move on. She doesn't want me to tell Polak jokes anymore, okay? So instead of Polaks, we'll call them Slobovians, okay? That's a made-up country. The Slobovia, the country of Slobovia, had a news conference. And they announced that since America sent astronauts to the moon, they were going to send astronauts to the sun. And someone said, well, if you send them to the sun, they'll burn up. And they said, well, we thought about that. We're going to send them at night. Yeah, you know. Aim at the sun, and if you hit the moon, you're still a winner, guys. be therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. How do we come close to being perfect? Letting Jesus live through us. No one can live Christ's life but Christ living in us. We can't do it by ourselves. And then the inward life in relationship to others. Wow. The Bible says we are to love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew 22:39. By this ye shall know that all men know you, that you love one another, John 13. Agape, sacrificial love. You are my disciples if you love one another. Thomas a Kempis wrote the most famous book of the High Middle Ages. He wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ. And next to the Bible, that was the most owned book during the High Middle Ages. What Thomas a Kempis wrote was this: man sees the deed, but God knows the intention. 1 Samuel 16:7, Samuel goes to anoint the next king of Israel. Saul has messed up. God says, I've chosen another king. Go to Jesse. He's got, how many sons did he have? I think he had 7 or 8, right? He goes to the oldest one, Eliab, and God says, this is not the one. He goes to the second oldest son. He looks good. He'd make a good king. God said, this is not the one. Abinadab. He goes to the third son, Shammah. God says to him, this is not the one. He ran out of sons. Samuel says to Jesse, got any more kids? And he said, yeah, the youngest one. He's little, you know, he's young. He's down there with the sheep. His name's David. So they went and got him, and God said, this is the one. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And God does. It's amazing. The outward life in relationship to others. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. What is God's predestination plan for each one of us? That we would become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into his likeness from glory to glory. 1 Peter 1:4, wherein there are given to us great and precious promises from God that we might be the partakers of the new nature. That is the goal of God in our life. Our standard in relation to God, we have an inward life and an outer life. Our standard in relation to ourselves, we have an inward life and an outer life. And our standard in relationship to others, we have an inward life and an outer life. If God dwells in us, if God's love has been perfected in us, then we will love one another. Bruce Larson was the editor of Leadership Magazine, and he had a great illustration that I read this week. He talked about, he said, I met a man not long ago who dives for exotic fish to sell to aquariums. He said, one of the most popular aquarium fish is the shark. He explained, if you catch a small shark and confine it, it will stay a size proportionate to the size of your aquarium. Sharks can be 6 inches long and be fully mature, but if you turn them loose in the ocean, they will grow to their normal length of 8 feet. Then he says this, but that also happens to some Christians. I've seen the cutest little 6-inch Christians who swim around in a little puddle, but if you put them in a larger arena, then they can become great. God wants us to live up to our potential in him through Jesus Christ. And the first step is to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you have a decision to make, if you want to accept Christ as your Savior or make another decision, we're going to sing our invitation hymn before we do the Lord's Supper, number 316. Hymn number 316 in your hymn book.